With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's the most resilient parasite? Transform the world and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm gonna be doing every single night.
Which is why I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What is up, Portland?
Put a little extra stank on that one, did you?
Portland! How are you guys?
I'm doing great.
I can't even imagine.
I can't either, Bill. I'm doing great, too.
I'm day drinking, so, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I tried to get Mike. Well, Mike is day drinking with me.
Yeah, I just haven't opened it yet. I can open it on the mic.
Yeah, I'm corrupting Mike Lynch.
I love that sound.
A little pop.
What are you opening?
This is a Avid Cider Company Blackberry Currant Apple. Nice little 12-ounce, 6.2, you know. Little sweetness to it. Not too shabby.
Yeah, it's got a little dryness at the end, but not overly dry. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is this what you do on your beer podcast?
There's hints and notes.
do you feel how dry that is?
Although I don't make a weird golf whispering noise, yes, that is kind of what we do on the podcast.
Like delicious dish.
He's got a refined palate. Well, he's back.
Yes.
From the Beers on Us World
Tour. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mike Lynch.
Yes.
Hello.
Is your podcast up?
No, it's up tomorrow. Tomorrow at 4. I just was editing it before I came into the room.
Now, tell us all about it.
So,
Daddy wants to know.
Okay, Daddy. We have a 3-episode partnership with Pelican over the summer.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to each of their locations in each episode. This one, we went to Tillamook, which is their big distribution facility. And we're going to go to Pacific City and Cannon Beach in June and July. I don't know which order, but, you know, each one in those months. And, we went and did our typical takeover episode where we had some samplers, tried some food. We talked to Jim, the CEO, and Darren, the brewmaster there, and talked about kind of Pelican being one of the OG breweries in the state at this point. You know, we lost some of the OG. Oh, yeah. This is their 25th birthday, as they're calling it.
And they're still independent. Well, so many of others have been bought up. Like,
yep.
You know.
Hey, what was the first brewery in Oregon?
The first brewery.
Boy, Widmer has been but Widmer was around for a long time. I know that.
I think it might be Rogue might be the first one, but I'll have to double check for you on that one.
Are they a sponsor?
You should know that. Who?
Rogue.
Uh-oh.
I'm just asking.
Let's just assume that they are.
Well, then it's wonderful, and you should totally go there, and they have delicious beers and wonderful food. I will say that the outdoor seating area, the one over on 9th, is fantastic.
I think you can go Rogue, Pelican, Deschutes, and Ninkasi is probably the oldest four currently. Maybe Widmer if you want to include that, although that Widmer's not really a thing anymore. It's kind of strange.
What happened to Widmer?
They got purchased.
Yeah, bought out.
And the brothers kind of,
I don't even think the brothers are doing. I know one was out, has been out, and the other one was still kind of doing
stuff.
Well,
they closed the tap room that was down there, and now they're just kind of making Hef and a couple other things. Yeah. And
but somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Not the Widmer brothers.
Well, I don't fault anyone, right? Like a lot of the ones in Bend got bought up by bigger companies, but this is like when you've got like a little indie rock band and they're your favorite band and then they make a bunch of money and you get pissed at them. How you gotta be mad at someone for building something and selling it for, $80 million?
It's just usually once you sell to the big beer, your core brand's quality goes downhill.
Can you still make
good beer if you got your own stuff being made at your local pub, but the stuff that you're selling is not going to be as good.
And
like
I
the
know,
big stuff.
All I'm saying is if you built a brewery yourself or with your brother and then someone comes along and gives you $80 or $100 million, you know what? High five, man. Good for you.
Take that money.
Even if your beer does go down a notch, I'll still fist bump you because you're living the American dream.
100% agree with that. Go make your money if you're being offered that much money. I'm just saying the reason why people tend to fade from those breweries is that the quality does tend to go down.
Now, Beers on Us podcast comes out every Thursday. This is a very special one.
Yes.
And it's released tomorrow.
Released tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And it's a little over an hour. And
is there video? I heard there was video.
You heard there was video?
Yeah. I thought you guys were taping it for like YouTube or something.
I heard that from Big Sue.
Is that not?
That's not. No.
Oh.
No. This was a podcast.
Fake news.
We are going to record a video because we're a presenting sponsor for the Oregon Beer Awards next week.
Maybe that's what I
thought.
I heard
you are?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe that's what I heard. I thought you guys were talking about filming. And
are you
going to
wear
like,
a tux?
It's a virtual event, so no, I'm probably not wearing a tux.
Oh, cargo shorts?
Maybe.
Maybe a tuxedo T-shirt that says, you know, I want to be formal, but, you know, hey.
But I'm on a video for a beer awards.
And I'm here to party. I think the tuxedo T-shirt would be really nice.
Should we broadcast the beer awards?
We're presenting the Imperial IPA category.
Like the
Oregon. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
The Imperial. That's the big
one.
Well,
I think it is. I mean, isn't that a big deal? There's a lot of them.
It's a big category.
What is,
yeah.
What is? I would assume it was like the IPA or whatever would be the,
the Imperials. Let's go to Beer Mike on this.
Yeah, let's go. What is the big, what's like the best actor, best movie categories for beers?
It would be IPA. I think it's actually considered American Strong Ales is what they actually call it in the award show. But yeah, like a regular IPA would be probably the top. Imperial IPA is not like the best category, but having an IPA be the category we're presenting is pretty cool.
So you're
IPA is just
like,
higher ABV usually.
So you're giving away like best cinematography. This is your award kind of. It's a big deal.
No,
but
this is good. That,
I think
it's more like, I don't remember all the awards that like the Oscars. Not like best actor. Not best supporting actor, but like what's third or fourth?
That's what I said, like a cinematography.
Is that third or fourth?
Yeah, I think cinematography, maybe best sound.
No, that's way down there.
Original score, maybe?
I feel like you're throwing these in there. Those are like seventh, eighth, ninth, right?
There's only four big awards, and then after that, you're into... I think cinematography is fifth.
I have...
You have hold on. You got best picture, best director.
Yeah.
And then best actor, best actress.
Uh-huh.
And then the supporting ones. And after that, I think cinematography is the best one after the major categories.
Can I make a statement that I feel strongly about already?
Go for it.
I've always thought this. I've always thought that the Imperial IPA category at the Beer Awards was like the best supporting actor or actress award.
Nice. Okay. Well, if
that's what I think it is,
guys. I accept that because it makes me feel better.
That's good.
It is Imperial. It's like winning the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. A lot of prestige in that award. The Macho Man held that strap.
Imperial IPAs are hoppier IPAs.
Not hoppier.
They're not hoppier.
More alcoholic.
Oh.
Higher ABV.
Okay.
An Imperial IPA is another name for a double IPA. They're in the same kind of category.
Yeah. Has anybody come up with the triple?
Yes.
What about the quadruple?
No, there is not a quadruple IPA, but there is a Belgian beer called a quad.
An opening in the market.
Rob, I think we take to the bathtub and this is where we get out of this stupid show.
Triple IPAs are kind of dying. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, that's old school now, but the quad.
They're too hoppy. People like the more saison, like... drinkable beers, right?
Now, is there a dad beer?
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you are right, although Saison was an interesting beer choice to name there, yeah.
It's
a very, very niche type of beer.
Now, my category
like
is
crispy
one
lagers Pilsners and stuff like that.
Yeah. I play exclusively in the dad beer category. Is there a category for dad beer? Because there should be.
Oh, it's not called dad beer, but I'm sure there's like, you know, light American lager is a category, I'm sure.
Or like those fruity, sours?
Yeah.
Sours?
Well, no, you don't want to drink a hard seltzer. A dad beer is still a beer, but it's something that you want to get through six of before your afternoon even gets going.
Everything used to be dad beer.
Yes.
And now nothing is dad beer.
No, now it's like drinking pancake batter half the time. Like
I think you'd be surprised. Most breweries have one or two of the dad type of beers where you can just have an easy drink in 3-4% and just pound them.
I will tell you that when I walk into a place, everyone knows when they're like, hey, what do you want? And I'm not one of these guys that's going to look at a board through 17 different things. I just say, give me your best dad beer. And everyone immediately knows where I'm going. And they bring it out to me, and it just...
What do they give you?
It like makes me happy. Yeah, you usually get some sort of Pilsner.
Yeah.
They know, like, once in a blue moon, someone will look at you, and you're like, just give me something drinkable. But for the most part, if you walk into a brewery and say, give me your best dad beer, they know what you're, they know what you want, and they're dialing up. And then I just drop one of these. Dude, just bring me, like, three or four of them, and we're going to be great. Just keep them coming. And we're off and running.
This text is right. You meant to say session,
yes.
Not Saison.
Yes.
Session IPAs are more
drink. What's Saison? What's that?
Boy, that is a...
See, I know my beer.
That is a very niche style of beer that I've only had a couple of times, so I'm not going to be the perfect person to answer that question.
Session.
Session IPA is lower ABV IPAs.
Okay, if I go into a brewery... Now, I'm not a big beer drinker at all.
Yeah.
I just find it filling. But I do love one... Every once in a while, you have a craving?
Sure.
Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, man, a beer would be really good. Yeah, it's usually right after a golf round or something.
You're a wine guy.
I am more of a red wine guy and a whiskey guy, but... when I have a beer, I usually just order the lighter beers because it's just my big fat gut can't handle much anymore. But if I were to go into a brewery, Beer Mike, and I don't want the Pilsner or the, you know, the Kolsch.
Yeah, Kolsches are good. That's, again, let's a say nice, I don't solid want dad that beer category.
No, I'm more of a pale ale guy, not an IPA guy, but I like the pale ales. What's in between, like, a Pilsner or a light beer and a pale ale? Do they have anything in that category? For a bro like me.
I think that what your best bet would be is a lot of breweries right now are doing different styles of Pilsners. And you can see which Pilsner you like. There's Czech style Pilsner. There's Italian style Pilsner. Mm. There's German style Pilsner. And all these breweries are doing different little styles. And they're little, you know, using different malts and using different ingredients. Mm-hmm. I personally have found that the Czech style Pilsner is my favorite. So I would say if you found a certain type of Pilsner that you liked, that could be kind of in the middle there between like a light lager and a pale ale.
Mike's like a sommelier now for us. When we did talk about this, that like we need Mike to go to like a local Freddy's or whatever to the beer aisle where like a lot of the common man's going to go and like point us out.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times,
that's a good job.
Not a lot of people are going to, you know, like most of the beer I buy is either like a BevMo or like at the Freddy's where I shop.
And we have a lot of great bottle shops in the city, but not most. Yeah. Most people don't shop at bottle shops.
Most people are just going to the grocery store or wherever, or BevMo, something like that, and you're just kind of walking in. And
that hurts the little guy.
Yeah, it does hurt the little guy. But, you know,
because his stuff isn't in there.
It's kind of convenient, you know. And so
yeah,
I think,
get it.
I think a lot of people walk in there and you're like, oh, where do I go? If you don't want to drink,
that's,
you know,
good.
Pass. The biggest rule I'll give to anybody out there is check your dates.
Oh.
Look under the bottom of the can and see when it was canned. If it is a hoppy beer, you really don't want that beer to be more than 90 days or 2 months old. That's kind of that border of where some of those flavors are going to start going, or you're going to get oxidized beer. Always check your dates. I've gone to Safeway a couple of times recently and gotten some beer, and they've been 2-3 weeks old, and I've been so happy because it's really hard when you go to the big supermarkets to find fresh beer because it's not on the brewery. It's not on the distributor. It's usually on the supermarket to order the correct amount and pull it off the shelves if it's too old.
Mm.
That's the biggest thing I'll say. You can get whatever you want. You know, it's your palate, your choice, but check the dates.
That's why you go to the brewery.
Yes. Or bottle shops. They tend to keep their dates way fresher.
But he's right. Sook's right. Like a beer somm.
Yeah.
Do they have that? They need
should.
That.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah. So the guys in the bottle shops are probably really knowledgeable.
They're school for it too. And like sommelier, you got to get certified.
Oh, okay. So here I have a little, something for you to wrap up this segment.
Mike has officially taken over the show. Someone said he's been plotting this.
It's
for
called
years.
A Cicerone is the beer sommelier. Ooh.
A Cicerone.
Cicerone.
All right. Okay.
Cicerone.
Hey. The history of brewing in Oregon.
Ooh, we have number one?
Yes, we have the first brewery.
Who's the OG?
According to this, which is from the Oregon State University Library.
So let's go ahead and view this as
I feel
our,
like that's it's from
correct.
Yeah, it's from .edu.
Yeah, we can't argue with that.
And they have a great brewing program at OSU.
Yeah, that's what this is from. So they're doing all the history on here. The first brewery was Henry Saxer's Liberty Brewery in Portland. Guess what year?
Oh, God. Give me 1939.
Okay.
19...
Mike, you should know this. You
had 25.
You had prohibition for a while.
Right.
1925?
25.
1852,
bros.
Wowza.
1852, bros. Come on. By all accounts, beer brewing in Oregon actually predates commercial hops production.
Hmm.
In 1854, 5 years before Oregon statehood, an English immigrant named Charles Barrett opened the Portland Brewery and General Grocery Establishment. Wow. I love that. Not store. Establishment. A little more formal.
Sure. Got to get a little, some credentials behind that.
His August 5th, 1854 ad joined others for barley, clothing, whiskey, bakeries, wagon shops, and temperance hotels. Mm. Then Swiss-born Henry Saxer, who we just spoke of, opened the Liberty Brewery in Portland. Now, this says 1856. And by 1859, Jacksonville, Oregon City, Portland, and the Dalles all had breweries. Mm. But it was Henry Weinhard, the well-known Oregon beer icon, who took brewing in our state to a new level. Unfortunately for the industry, when Oregonians voted to ban alcohol in 1914, 5 years before the 18th Amendment established a national prohibition, alcohol consumption dropped drastically and breweries closed. The 70s and 80s were decades of positive change and renewed growth. And in October of 1978, Jimmy Carter signed H.R. 1337, which contained an amendment that created an exemption from taxation for beer brewed at home for personal or family use. Locally, craft brewing in Oregon took a major turn when a small group of brewers worked together toward the passage of the 1985 Oregon's Brewpub Law.
Now,
allowing for the brewing and dispensing of beer on the same premises.
And this goes hand in hand. 1985, the oldest craft brewery still around is Bridgeport.
No, Bridgeport's gone.
They closed.
Oh, they're
Bridgeport
all,
is
they're all
out
gone?
Of business. Yes.
Well, then that would be
Man, it's really sad to see all these breweries.
I think McMenamin's might be right after Bridgeport.
It would be Widmer's. I found
a
list.
Oh, is it Widmer?
Yeah, it would be Widmer. Yeah, cuz this article was from 2019, and Bridgeport would have been the oldest, and then it says after that you've got the Portland Brewing Company and Widmer Brothers.
Portland Brewing Company also closed their Portland tap house.
So
Widmer closed their tap house. So,
God,
is anyone
McMenamin's?
Is anyone still
McMenamin's?
Anyone still around after that?
It's too bad.
Yeah,
I hate seeing it. Beer before statehood, though. How about that? Did you guys have that?
Damn right.
That's very Oregon, isn't it?
So very Oregon.
That's how we do it.
All right. Oh.
Take a breath.
I'm exhausted.
You're not even day drinking.
No, I'm not.
So you'd be, you'd be taking a nap.
Cider.
That was really good. Mm. Yeah. Thank you to the Avid Cider Company. Cheers. Bend. Mm.
Shall we start with, we've got a lot of good stuff today. That was very generic.
We do have a lot of good stuff.
But we do, I promise.
We got one-eyed guys. We got Blazers. We got scheduling.
That baseball story is bananas.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely bananas.
I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't either. You're going to hear a bananas baseball story today.
I got two eyes and I can't see the damn ball.
We know what week one of the NFL will look like, so why not start handicapping that?
Yeah. Yeah, they can't.
Never too early.
This was all leaked in a stunning development.
And the Blazers, you know, it's a very big night in the NBA.
Yes.
Very big. And we have some late-breaking Lakers news.
Yeah, I know. And, well, there's injury news abound. It's setting up very nicely for Portland.
So we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. It's at 1080thefan.com. As always, it is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Is the play-in tournament a good idea? Yes, no, or F off.
For fans, I think it's a good idea. For teams, I think it sucks. I think it's ridiculous that you're giving a team that's in ninth or 10th place a chance to get into the playoffs.
Okay, but there's no distinction.
It's stupid.
It's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
I would vote no as well.
It's dumb. You've got a team that's going to go, 33 and 35, 36, 33, something like that.
Who's that, the Spurs?
The Spurs, and they're going to be in this. The Wizards are 32 and 37.
Ugh.
My God. Like, really?
They don't deserve it.
You're five games below 500, and we're still going to give you an opportunity. And by the way, they're going to get Boston. And if Boston, you know, is a little beat up and no Jaylen Brown and something fluky happens, you're telling me the Wizards deserve to be in or the Spurs? Get out of here. It's a dumb thing.
Give me the East. I agree. Give me the East play-in tournament as it stands now?
Well, it's pretty much locked up because the Knicks have separated. So you're going to get Boston against Washington and then Charlotte and Indiana.
Charlotte and Indiana, the 9-10?
They're the 8-9.
Well, you have 7 playing 8 and 9 playing 10.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking 7 plays 10. No, you're right. So you get Boston and I guess that so Charlotte and Indiana still they're equal. They're 33-36. So they're fighting, I guess, to be the 8. So but Boston is locked into the 7, the Wizards are locked into the 10th, and then Charlotte and Indiana still have something to play for to find out who's the 8 and who's the 9.
All right.
But yeah. You know, I don't need to see.
No, honestly, I don't need to see any of that.
I don't need to see any of this. At least in the West, you know, Golden State, the Lakers, Memphis are all halfway decent team. Well, certainly the Lakers went healthy.
Hey, Warriors, Blazers, one gamer. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Curry against Lillard.
Yeah.
Okay, so the late breaking Lakers news is that Anthony Davis, if you watched any of that game last night against the Knicks, he messed up his groin.
And Anthony Davis is just perpetually hurt. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I feel like do you think that sometimes when you watch him, I feel like he's acting a little bit.
It
he's always like trying to make you think he's really hurt.
Always something going down.
Don't you think?
But he's missing in theory a huge game here down the stretch. So
do you think that all of his falling to the court makes him more injured?
It's possible. You're 7 foot and you're constantly falling. Be an athlete, stay on your feet.
Yeah, it does, especially the way they play. That game last night was a war. I don't know if you watched that, but oh my God, the Knicks Lakers.
And
I don't know if you like that kind of basketball. I love it. If you didn't see it, it was not a lot of threes. It was half court, grinded out, defensive basketball, and it was tough and physical. Both those teams are really good defensively.
The Knicks had them, and then they just the final minute and a half they couldn't execute for poo.
That's the Lakers. You know, the Lakers defense, I want to amend what I said yesterday when I said that it can't be that easy for the Lakers to just be the 6 or the 7 seed and make the finals. Oh, it can. If Davis and LeBron are healthy, their defense is sick. Yeah. And they have the difference between them and the Knicks is they actually have LeBron and Anthony Davis as opposed to just one guy, Julius Randle, who Davis did a pretty good job on late. So I think that was just really the difference. You got that was a fun game to watch. I love just drag him into the mud wars like that.
Well, who was
it? Was very physical.
Might have been Nick Wright, I think, was on with Colin today, or I forget. Maybe it was someone else, but they were talking about the NBA playoffs and they were talking about the Knicks and the Knicks being relevant, right? There's 7 games above 500. They're going to be the 5 or the 6. And he kind of had an interesting point to go along with what you were saying there. He goes, look, the Knicks are basically Julius Randle and then, you know, a collection of guys that play real hard. But he said, if you're Milwaukee or the Nets, whoever ends up being the 3, right, and assuming that you're going to get the Knicks at 6 or if they move up to 5, you know, whoever ends up being the 4, he said that the Knicks are incapable of beating the Nets. They're incapable of beating the Bucks. Not going to happen.
They don't have enough firepower.
They don't have enough firepower. But he said, if you're one of those two teams, you want nothing to do. Because I believe the term he uses, if you play the Knicks, they will take a hunk out of you.
Yep.
You will know that is a series. And then when you go into the next one, you will feel it. He said, they will take they may go down in 5 or 6, but they will take a hunk of your flesh because it's just the way they play.
No question.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And you don't want to see them in the first round.
That's why the way they play is why Minnesota hired Thibodeau back in the day. Remember that?
And that was like, well, everyone thought
Wiggins and Jimmy Butler.
And everyone thought that was going to be the next great Western Conference team.
Yeah, but they didn't.
No.
They didn't listen to him or whatever. They didn't play like that. But he is, when he gets buy-in like this, they're fun to watch. Well, maybe not fun to watch. I think a lot of people probably don't like to watch it. It can be ugly, but I respect it. I think it's really good. And I think that when it comes down to the playoffs, especially in the fourth quarter of tight games, the games become like this.
Yeah.
And the Lakers are just absolutely built for those types of games. When you have LeBron and Anthony Davis going up against tough defense, first of all, they can lock you down on the other end. It's just, man, I wouldn't count them out. Now, the thing about the late-breaking stuff today is that Anthony Davis hurt his groin last night, and he is not going to play tonight.
Nope.
They're playing Houston, and then LeBron was supposed to be back, and he is now not going to play tonight.
So LeBron was supposed to play yesterday, didn't. Supposed to play today, not going to.
He tweeted that he's not right. He's not quite there yet.
And is Caruso, do we know, is he?
I didn't see him last night.
No, well, he went out. So that's what I'm saying. Is he out too?
Oh, did he play early in that game?
He played early in that game and then was out. So
what do you think of that Horton Tucker guy?
They're really high on him. They down in Lakerland, you read stuff about him that they think he's going to be really good.
Well, he hit the shot.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's an interesting player, yeah. But he's also kind of maddening.
Well, and remember too that they are playing tonight, and this may, you know, come into LeBron sitting out and maybe even AD. They're playing the worst team in the league. I mean, the Rockets are
and that's
awful.
The thing is that it may seem great that Anthony Davis and LeBron James aren't playing, but they should still beat the Rockets.
Yes. And so maybe this is one of those where something tells me that if this was a do or die game, both Anthony Davis and LeBron probably play.
Yeah. But they know they don't need to.
Yeah.
So the Lakers are now 7-point favorites eight-point favorites over the Rockets.
Yeah.
And Dallas plays tonight. They're tied with Portland, but Portland has the tiebreaker. So right now, Portland's 5, Dallas is 6, even though they have the same record. And Dallas got throttled last night by Memphis. They now play New Orleans, who is without Zion, and they are big favorites. They're about 9-point favorites.
The nice part, though, for the Blazers is...
The Blazers are underdogs in Utah, but only by a point.
Well, remember, no Conley and no Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell. So, I mean... Look, am I wrong in thinking the way Portland is playing right now and what these games mean, you got to win two of these. I don't think that you have to win this game, and you should win this game. You're playing against a Utah team without, I mean, Gobert. You know, you're without two of their big three, and you have a full complement. You need to win this game if you're Portland. It is being gift-wrapped for you.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it's going to be a battle.
And Utah doesn't have a whole lot to play for anymore. Phoenix is two games behind him for the number one seed. So,
but I think if they win this, they know that they wrap up one. Like, this could be their last, like, hey, let's get this one more, and then we can sit down, because they have Oklahoma City and Sacramento for the last two.
Yeah.
So if they...
Well,
if,
but in that argument, then
they don't have to...
You don't really have to worry about anything if those are your last two games.
But don't forget about Bogdanovich, too, man. I mean, like, Utah...
And Jordan Clarkson off the bench.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson had 41 the other night.
I'm just saying, this is the best case scenario for you possible in that Phoenix lost. Really, Utah doesn't have to worry. They are going to be the one. They've got two gimmies after this. They can play no one and win one of those games and lock it up. And you're playing them without Mitchell and Conley. Dude, your guards should feast on them. This should be a Blazer victory. And then, you know, you're staring down, you know, you're staring down your final two.
With the way they're playing right now, I would agree with that. If they can keep this level of defense and play up.
Boy, I don't.
They can beat anybody at this point.
Yeah, they're playing well, but you guys are underestimating Utah even without those two guys. I mean, the Blazers are an underdog tonight. This is a tough game. It's a winnable game, but it's a tough game, but it's a huge game. So maybe that's the deciding factor Portland.
Means a hell of a lot more to Portland than it does.
They
Utah.
Need it more than Utah. So maybe that will ultimately be the decider. I don't know.
Well,
but
it's a big deal because you don't want to be six, because six is going to be playing the Clippers, and you know, you don't want anything to do with the Clippers. No, you know, the Lakers.
Well, that's not settled yet either, because the Clippers and Nuggets are within a game,
of each other.
So you could be the six and actually play Denver if they pass LA. So. There's just a lot. Just win.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby.
Just win. And go Rockets.
You betting on the Rockets?
No. No, I am not.
The Rockets.
They are so bad.
And go garbage. Pelicans.
Pels. Who do they have left?
The Pelicans?
Besides Zion. I mean, Zion's out, but so they have... Who the hell plays on the...
Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
You got isn't Redick there still?
No, he's in Dallas.
Oh, that's right.
By the way, I saw a stat on Dallas.
Oh, they got Eric Bledsoe. That's what I'm thinking of.
Dallas is 31-0 when they shoot better from three than their opponent.
Really?
Is that crazy, or is that not crazy? Because most teams will win most of their games when they shoot better than
three. I know. Well, I get most, from but three. That's...
31-0.
That's a hell of a record. By the way, I'm looking here for New Orleans. Lonzo Ball is out, Ingram's out, Zion's out, Steven Adams all out.
Dallas wins.
They have one. Eric Bledsoe is their only starter. that is
this
that
is playing. Stupid. See, this is why this is dumb.
Yeah. So
this play-in thing is dumb because guys aren't. Teams are jockeying for position. It should be fun, but it's not because of crap like that.
Yeah, this is their starting lineup. They've got this Nickelly Alexander Walker, who, Eric Bledsoe, Najee Marshall, James Johnson, and Jackson Hayes. That is the starting lineup for
James Johnson still in the league?
For your New Orleans
Anybody
Pelicans.
Want to take Bledsoe over 30 points?
Don't pass the ball, man. Just keep going.
Well, there's your night in the NBA. Should be fun. We'll keep you posted. Yeah. Week one of the NFL, what do you call it? The schedule, the sched.
It's not officially out yet.
No, it is. Week one is. Well, but not the rest.
The whole schedule, they're doing the big.
They leaked it.
Yeah, they're doing a big primetime sort of.
A lot of leaks, guys. A lot of leaks. Tell you what to watch out for in week one of the NFL next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, some hot baseball talk coming up. Wait till you hear this insane baseball story we have for you. But more pressing than that, NFL Week 1 handicapping. Let's go.
Yes.
Week 1 opening lines are out. Now, remember, the NFL will be putting out an 17-game schedule this week.
Look at Rob already trying to go to 18. 17 is no longer okay.
They will be putting out... Let me just start over. The NFL will be putting out their first 17-game, 18-week schedule.
Yes. Whew. Got that bye week in there.
Yeah, and that's coming out here at 5 o'clock, I think, tonight.
I believe you are correct.
But you know what? They always leak stuff, man.
Yeah.
And the NFL threw us a bone and gave us week one, all the games for week one. So this is September 9th. Is the Thursday game. That's the opener.
Mm-hmm.
Tampon.
Against your Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
6.5.
That's kind of a fun game.
I kind of like Dallas in that.
That's, 6.5.
That's not one that I'm going to jump over and grab. I probably won't bet that, but if I were, I'll take the Cowboys and the points. And I know...
Dak's back, right?
Dak's back, and look, I believe there's something to the effect of the Super Bowl hangover. You know, and I know that Tampa Bay got it together late, but it wasn't like Tampa was the most dominant team in the NFL. And, you know, Dallas can score some points with Dak being back and hopefully healthy. So I think Tampa Bay wins that game, but I can see Dallas scoring late to cover that. Again, probably won't bet it, but I think the Cowboys 6.5 is the right side of that.
Okay. So that's Thursday,
yes.
September 9th. And then the other games are Pittsburgh at Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
six, Buffalo favored by 6.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Although it's hard to know.
I think Pittsburgh is going to be a disappointment. I like Buffalo. I think they're one of the 3 or 4 best teams.
Didn't they just play last year in Buffalo?
I don't know. I don't know what happened last year.
Yeah.
In
cause
game.
That was one of those games where Pittsburgh could not get a yard.
Yeah.
Like their offense was so bad.
I'm going to look that up and see what went down in that.
Jets. Oh, look at this. Boy, that NFL. They know what they're doing.
You got the revenge game.
Jets against Panthers in Carolina. Sam Darnold, if he starts, against his old team.
Yeah, because this is one of those two that, you know, if this is week 10, no one gives a rip because the Jets are going to suck, and I don't think Carolina's going to be that good either. So, but you put it week one, smart move on the
yeah,
part
I like
of that.
Because no one cares about either of those
no,
teams.
No, I mean, they're both going to be bad teams, but you put it week one, and all of a sudden we've got some intrigue. Like, oh, what's happening here?
Carolina -4.
Yeah.
Jacksonville. -1.5. They are favorites.
I don't know how
at Houston.
I just don't know how you can do. You can play this at all with Deshaun Watson being out. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and grab the Texans here.
Yeah, I would too.
One, if Deshaun Watson comes back and you get it locked in at 1.5, you're dancing. I don't know what's happening there. I don't think that he's going to play early on. I think he's going to be part of the what do they do that the commissioner's list where they pay him, but he's not on the field. I think it's going to be hard to run him out there. But this thing has kind of died down a little bit, and supposedly there's some holes being poked in at least a couple of the accusations. I just think Jacksonville is I don't get it. I you're still dealing with a rookie quarterback and a very bad roster. I'll go ahead and take Houston in that.
Arizona at Tennessee, the Titans favored by 2.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and again take...
I'll take Tennessee.
I'll take Tennessee.
I don't trust Kingsbury.
I don't either. And I think, honestly, I think this is the year that maybe his head falls.
Hey, yeah. Mike yelled at me last... You were out. Mike yelled at me about that take last fall.
Why is that?
I don't know. Mike likes Kingsbury for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm not a huge fan.
I do like Kingsbury.
I think they're a little stagnant. I think
they're going to start slow. He's going to get fired.
I think the growth and development of Kyler Murray isn't where you need it to be. I think Arizona, what they did in the offseason was pretty good. But I just think Tennessee's a better team. And like I said, I don't have a ton of faith in him.
Our Chargers visiting the Washington football team. Chargers slight favorites.
See, this is probably going to be my big play of week one.
You already have a big play.
This is I was looking at this today. This is probably going to be the game that I like the best. And I'm gonna take Washington.
Oh.
Yeah.
They've got Fitz magic now.
They got Fitz magic, or you go with the Heineken man. And this is not about me loving Washington. This is what Washington's going to do offensively. Although I think they're going to be way more competent than they were last year, running out, you know, that garbage ass quarterback. They're going to have a solid stabilizing force. I like what Washington did in the offseason. I think that's a pretty talented team, and I think their defense is absolutely filthy. It's arguably the second best front seven in all of football. And you've got the Chargers with us, you know, having to go early game all the way back east. Mm. You're playing with a new coordinator. You're playing with a new coach. You got a lot of new pieces in there. And as good as Herbert is, and he was last year, when he played against some of the better defensive coaches, he struggled a little bit. And you still are dealing with a new system, new players, and you are playing against a nasty, nasty front there in Washington. I think there's some value here in Washington. I think Washington beats them. I think as the Chargers go on, I think they're going to be really good. But early on, this is one where this smells like we're all going to be jocking the Chargers. I'll bet you this thing gets up to maybe 3 before this is all done, because the Chargers are going to get a lot of hype and no one's going to give Washington any credit. Washington, if you go back, think about it in the playoffs. Who gave the Tampa Bay Buccaneers their toughest game? It sure as hell won the Chiefs. It was the Washington football team. I think Washington's going to be a surprise team this year.
I love that you've already handicapped all this. That makes me so happy. Okay, a few more here. Well, actually, let's take a break and come back. We'll talk about who the Seahawks have, because that'll be a doozy.
Yeah.
That first game. Week one NFL schedule is out. The rest of the schedule comes out later. 3:47 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, we're going through the week one NFL schedule. Too early? Yeah,
win,
probably.
Win, loss,
Big
win.
Sook's already handicapped it. I was just half joking about the lines, and then Big Sook's like, yeah, I got it. Here's my massive play of the year. Jesus, I love it. Somebody texted Chargers' new left tackle. That's the kid they drafted from Northwestern.
Yeah, Slater.
Yeah, Slater. He goes up against Chase Young.
Yep. Hadn't played football in
week one.
Hadn't played football in a year and a half. And you know.
Now, do you think these schedule makers do these things on purpose?
Oh, I think
with the Darnold thing and that.
I do think the Darnold thing was on purpose. I don't think that the Slater, and I think that's just like dumb luck. But no, I do think the Darnold thing is 100% is the reason why that game is week one.
Because they played these two guys, Young and Slater, of course, played against each other in college.
Yeah,
in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago because Slater opted out this year. But one of the big reasons why everyone was so high on Rashawn Slater was the fact that he played so well in that game against Chase Young a couple years back.
So it was only one game they met?
It was only the one game they played.
And Young didn't get to the quarterback once.
No, but a lot of people, and again, we'll just take it for what it's worth, they think that he is going to struggle and that he's going to be more of a guard. So it will be interesting to see week one what they did. But they, you know, they invested. They went out and got the best center in free agency. So it should be an improved offensive line. I just like when you're talking about, you know, limited OTAs, the situation going on. Do guys want to, you know, participate in offseason practices? You got a brand new coach, new system, a lot of new talent going in there. Whereas I keep wanting to call them the Redskins, and I can't do that.
No, you'll be canceled by doing that.
I certainly hope
by the woke.
I certainly hope that they come up with what would you say?
A mascot.
A mascot. Right.
No, I don't care.
It bothers me. The Washington football team, I don't like.
It is a little awkward to talk about them.
But when you look at the fact that their front of Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, Payne, and Montez Sweat, it's just nasty. I really like their defense. And so just early, if this was like week 8 to 10, maybe I feel different about this game, but I like teams that there's stability there against new units and the whole East versus West thing. And I think that game's at 10 a.m.
Okay, Seahawks will be at the Colts. That's a good game.
Yeah.
Indy favored by 2.5.
See, I'm going to go ahead the other way again. I'll take the, for kind of those same reasons, I'm going to take Seattle. I'm not sold on Carson Wentz. And by the way, we don't know about Eric Fisher. So that could be a huge hole at the left tackle position there for the Colts. And we're all assuming, and I love the Colts roster, but last time I saw Carson Wentz, he was busy kicking rocks. And, you know, I get he's back with Frank Reich and everything's wonderful. And if Carson Wentz is the Carson Wentz from three and a half years ago, Colts are a Super Bowl team. I can't say that. So I think I'm getting the better team with the 10 times better quarterback. I'm getting value there and I'm getting points. Dude, give me Seattle all day.
Did you see what happened with Heineke? The Washington quarterback?
No, what's the Heineken man up to?
Well, he's a right-wing guy.
Oh.
And so...
didn't sit well for some people?
Yeah, people have been going back into his old tweets. And, yeah, they don't... They're kind of turning on him in Washington.
Now, let me ask you the question. I'm being dead serious. Are they offensive, or does he just have a different political view?
Well, okay, it says, Heineke, a known Donald Trump supporter, is filled with right... Heineke's... Twitter feed, a known Donald Trump supporter, is filled with right-wing pro-MAGA tweets and liberal bashing, especially over the turbulent last 5 months since the killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor.
Oh boy.
His likes show tweets criticizing protesters and rioters. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but everyone else is allowed to condemn a woefully ignorant view. The backlash from his condescension can be a teachable moment. Yeah. As his tweets garnered more attention, Heineke stood firm in his positions, even calling for a civil and educated convo.
Well, and this was kind of what I was going down the road. Look, some of the stuff you see out there is beyond, what would you say? It's beyond conversation, right? Some of the stuff that gets thrown out there is just, it's dangerous, it's ignorant, it's pathetic. And you don't need to have conversation with those people because you're, you know, nothing's going to change. But what I don't like is an athlete or an actor that doesn't share the supposedly the mainstream political opinion, or in this case, you know, the mainstream, you know, being in the NFL or in the entertainment industry is obviously going to lean more one way than the other. Doesn't mean he's a horrible human being. And it certainly doesn't mean that he, you know, should be thrown to the wolves because he shares a different political opinion, as long as, you know, it doesn't go to, you know, some areas where we know that often those tweets and things go to, because those are, quite frankly, just despicable.
Well, the hard part is, to some people, the super duper Trumpies,
yeah,
they're not the same as just like Republican conservative. You yes. know what I mean? Like, they're out there, and he's one of them. And to a lot of people, this doesn't make it right or wrong, whatever. It's just what you think. But, I mean, those people are
yes.
whack jobs.
And that's what, and that's, you know.
That's what he is.
Yeah. Look, so, when I come across my neighbor, well, not neighbor, but the guy that lives down the road in his driveway, and he's got the 17 different signs, each one progressively more welcoming and friendly, I have no, I'm not trying to engage that guy in a conversation. But if someone has a different political opinion of me, that doesn't mean he should be a bad guy. So I just... I say, like, especially in the world of sports and entertainment now, you gotta be careful with he's a conservative or he's a Republican, therefore he's the devil.
But do you have to be careful with he's a Trump, a Trumpy?
Yeah, that's
it's different. That's what I'm saying.
There's a difference.
There's
yeah.
a difference.
Yeah.
Other games, Minnesota at Cincy.
I don't know what to make
Who
of this.
Cares?
Because, again, what are we getting with Joe Burrow? Is he going to be ready to go week one, even if he is?
I don't know.
I'm
Vikings are slight faves.
I'm leaning towards Minnesota just for the just
Philly
because.
At Atlanta. Atlanta -3.5 there.
Yeah, I don't like that you're having to give up the hook on that. If that's three, I think Philly's going to be really bad. I think they have a bad coach. I think they have a bad quarterback. And I actually think Atlanta's got a chance to be pretty good. Atlanta fools you every year into thinking that they're yeah. dog crap.
Kyle Pitts.
And then, like, they show flashes of it. I think Atlanta is going to be good. So if I can get that down at three and not give up the hook, I'm going to grab that. I think Philly could be, we talked about this yesterday. I think Philly's surprise could be the worst team in football. I think Philly's,
yeah, they're not very good.
I think Philly sucks. And I think
Who
their
is
coach sucks.
The Falcons coach. Quick, go.
Falcons coach is Arthur Smith, right?
Arthur Smith from the Titans.
Yeah.
Broncos at the Giants, Denver minus one. That's kind of weird.
I know. Again, we don't know
what to do there.
You know, the Aaron Rodgers thing, you're going to sit that out right now. But
I would tend to take the Giants.
Though. I do too. Now, if Daniel Jones cannot be Daniel Jones, again, this is going to be much like the Washington situation. The Giants are good. Saquon Barkley's back. They invested in the offensive line. They have a really good defense. They just need Daniel Jones to not be Daniel Jones and turn the ball over, and the Giants can be a pretty good team.
A couple other games, San Francisco at Detroit, Niners 7.5-point faves.
Yeah.
Green Bay at New Orleans. Ooh, Saints minus three.
Yeah, take Green Bay. I think the Saints are going to fall off.
Green Bay again, with Blake Bortles.
That's the thing is you don't. As long as Rodgers is there, I think Green Bay wins that game handily.
Browns at Chiefs, Kansas City minus 5.5. Good game there.
I like this because I really like Cleveland. It's scary, though, and then Andy Reid, game one, and Andy Reid off byes is just filthy. I mean, they always
have new wrinkles.
Yeah, they just roll people. And, oh, by the way, Kansas City, before all the injuries, was the best team in football, and they've fixed all the injuries along the offensive front. Kansas City is right back to being where they're at.
Miami at New England, Patriots slight faves, Bears at Rams, LA -7.
See, I'm going to take the Bears. This is another one that I really like. I am very down on the Rams.
They're going to be overrated.
I think the Rams are the most overrated team in all of football.
I say overrated. They're going to be overvalued.
Yes, they will be overvalued. Vegas. And I think they're overrated, period. I think that their roster is worse than it was last year. I don't think it's going to be the number one defense anymore, and they're very thin. They're an injury two away, and I don't think Matthew Stafford is a guy that can cover warts. And there's this idea out there that Matthew Stafford is going to come in and be a guy that covers up their deficiencies, and I don't buy it. I think Matthew Stafford is someone that with the right team can be really good. I don't believe that right team is the Rams. I think they finished third in that division. I think if healthy, I think the Niners win it. I think the Seahawks are right there. I think the Rams are the third best team in their own division. And some people think they're the third best team in the NFC.
And we have Monday night Baltimore visiting Vegas. Monday night football is in Vegas week one. That's cool.
Yeah.
Baltimore's favored by 6.5.
Did you see that there's going to be a nightclub in the end zone?
Yeah, I love that. There should be. It's Vegas.
They're doing a whole nightclub with bottle service and the gals running around out there.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to be naked?
Oh, I don't think so. But if, you know, the...
Come on, NFL.
The girls that do the bottle service, they're not naked, but they, they'll put asses in seats. It's like 11,000 square feet.
All right, there's your week one sked. Suk has already poured over it intensely, it sounds like.
That was very impressive.
It was. God.
You think I'm just, like, I don't gamble
we'll
that
keep that segment.
I don't gamble a ton when football's not there. So when you give me some gambling odds.
I'm ready for the NFL,
I'm like,
too.
Let's go.
I'm with you, homie.
I just love, like, it's not like, oh, that's an interesting line. Let me think about it. No, you've already made these picks.
Again,
let's keep the segment and then play it.
I have a problem.
Right before that Thursday night game.
See where everything changes.
And see if you have any different opinions.
Yeah, because there's a ton of stuff that can change between now and then.
Well, quarterback. There'll be a lot of starting quarterback news.
A lot of quarterback, changes, and then you're going to get more reports coming out of camp. Who looks good? Who doesn't? You know, does Zach Wilson look like a bum? Is it Trevor Lawrence? Is Justin Fields going to start week one? You see, Nagy's already backtracking on the whole quarterback number one thing with Andy Dalton. Shoot, this could be Justin Fields week one in Chicago. This is, you don't know.
Do you like very cool comeback stories?
Love very cool comeback stories. Unless it's Tim Tebow, then I hate them.
Okay, this is not Tim Tebow.
Thank God.
But this is a very, very cool baseball story coming up next on The Fan.